Excuse me. Okay, let's. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. Like I said, we'll open up our scriptures in a little bit. But to begin with, you know, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, concerning us. And so many times, you know, people come and they say, well, I just don't know what God's will is. Well, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so that's one of the things that we can keep in mind of, excuse me, is the fact that if we're thanking Him, if we're going to Him with a grateful heart, that's His will. Why is it that way? Because, you know, if you really stop and think about it, when you're having a real hard time about something, if you're struggling with something and you're feeling even depressed and just battling something, if there's ever a point where you stop and just go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that at least I can see. Thank you, Lord, that I can hear. Thank you, Lord, that I have the ability to stand up. Thank you, Lord, that. Thank you, Lord, that. Thank you, Lord, that. If we stop and really think about all the things that we really have to be thankful for. But see, it's always so much easier to focus on what we don't have. Or it's easier to focus on the things that we are struggling with. Seeing that problem as just unbearable. And it's always, every time I think about seeing my problems, the Holy Spirit always reminds me of that scripture that says the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So God's doing unseen things in our midst sometimes that we, if we knew, we would probably be much more thankful. And yet, in everything, it says. So what does it mean to give thanks? When the Bible's saying, in everything gives thanks, we might be prone to question that statement. In everything? That raises some eyebrows sometimes. Because not everything that happens to us is worth thanking God for, seemingly. See, there's no question that many things that happen around us and with us and in us that are evil, that are difficult, that are filled with turmoil, sorrow, and tragedy because we live in a world of sin, and those things happen around about us. However, what that scripture says is, it's really addressing our response to those things that do happen to us, whether they're good things or bad things. How do we respond to the events that happen to us? See, in one sense, we're not to give thanks for everything. That's not what it says. But rather in everything. Or, in other words, in the midst of every situation, giving thanks to God in the midst of difficult events that happen to us. And that's only possible if we have the right perspective. If we get the right perspective of things, no matter how old or young we are, our perspective, our attitude determines how our day is going to go. So there's three things, I think, that help us to get the right perspective. First is, what do we deserve? What do we deserve? Second thing, what does God guarantee us? And then the third thing is happiness and eternal right. So those three questions are kind of worth answering. So the answers to these questions will help us to really gain, I believe, the right perspective. The first thing is, what do we deserve? Well, the bottom line is, if we deserve nothing due to our sinful condition of our sinful nature, then anything that we have should bring us gratitude. Anything. If we realize that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we've been made alive together with Him in Christ Jesus, wow, we got some stuff to be thankful for. No matter what else we don't have, because we deserved death. Because He says the wages of sin is death. But praise God, the free gift is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So if God guarantees not happiness and or good happenings as we might define them in our lives, but he does guarantee the assurance that he is allowed. He allows what happens in order to build our character, to build a Christian character within us, a God-like character. That sanctification being transformed more and more into his image. Then our perspective starts to change. Turn back to Luke chapter 17. We've been through this not too long ago on Sunday mornings, but go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 17. And there's a familiar story here, and it's one that is worth bringing about this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whatever time it is. I know what time it is, really, I do. But anyway, Luke chapter 17, of course, is the story of the 10 lepers that were cleansed. And I just want to pick it up in verse 15 of Luke 17. It says in verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? It is true for us. If we get to that place where we realize, like that leper, he was walking away, going to the priest to present himself to the priest to show that he'd been cleansed. Once he realized he was cleansed, he went back to Jesus, the real high priest, and fell down with a loud voice and glorified God. See, and if we get to that point and that place where we realize that God's already done everything possible for us on the cross, what more should we be grateful for? To be able to go back and give him that thanks. He healed 10 lepers in this story. But only one returned to give him thanks. And Jesus' reply was interesting. Were not 10 cleansed? Where's all the rest of them? Where's everybody else? See, the ingratitude of this story may appear shocking to many of us, but it only reveals a similar culture here in America as well. We live in ungrateful times. Children no longer thank their parents for providing shelter and food and clothing. And, you know, oh, thank you, Dad, for going to work and putting dinner on the table. Thank you, Mom, for cleaning my clothes. Boy, it was getting a little raunchy. Glad you took that in the washer. So children no longer thank their parents for that. Parents no longer thank their employers for providing them even a job. What do you mean I've got to do this? So many tell their bosses, you know, I applied for a job. I didn't apply for work. You know? Why is this? Well, we've perverted God's provisions into entitlement guarantees. And it's even more so in our nation today that, oh, everything's supposed to be given to us. We feel like we're entitled to all these things. And unfortunately, preachers on television often tell their viewers what they want to hear. You know, that all that God has for them is health, wealth, and happiness. Anything less is beneath their status as king's kids. No, that's not what the Bible says. This perverts both God's goodness and man's need in trying to tickle people's ears in that way. See, remember, God is perfect, holy, and righteous, owing us nothing. Nothing. He owes us nothing, but he's given us everything. See, we are sinful, perverted, and warped, and we owe him everything. Everything. If we don't start here, our basis for giving thanks will be very selfish and limited. So we got to realize, what do we deserve? Nothing. He deserves everything. Next, so giving thanks is our duty. And also it's our first response that we owe to our Creator. We ought to be thankful for each and every breath we breathe. That felt good. You know, it's something that we do all day long and we never really have to think about it. It comes so naturally, we don't have to think, oh, okay, take the next breath, take the next breath. If we had to do that, what would our lives be like? No, God just naturally does it for us, gives us that breath. But we have no guarantee of tomorrow. There's no guarantees about tomorrow. We ought to be thankful for those also who serve us in our nation and wherever we're at. To be thankful for every meal and the simple joys of life. So that's just kind of a reason for tomorrow. Because originally, Thanksgiving, especially in our nation, was set aside to be a day of thanks and prayer to God who provided all that He's provided for us. And yet here again, the world has twisted it around to where it's lost all of its Christian or spiritual meaning. It's okay, let's get together and eat as much as we can and complain about it later. And hopefully we'll have it enough digested so we can go out shopping. You know, so that's kind of there. Now I want to go back and look at the Feast of the Tabernacles a little bit. See, it's really the biblical holiday for Thanksgiving. Because if it's God's will that we give Him thanks for even the most mundane of blessings, so that we do not take Him for granted, and we maintain the best perspective that will not only help us, but others, we have to look to the Scriptures. And see, does the Scriptures give us an example of actually celebrating a time of Thanksgiving as a holy day or a holiday during the year? And of course, it's in Old Testament. Turn now back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Leviticus, chapter 23. It's pretty close to the front of the Bible. Tom, it's on 108 if you have the right Bible tonight. Leviticus chapter 23, and I'm going to read verse 34 first. It says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of the Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord." So the Feast of the Tabernacles was also called the Feast of the Booths, but it was to be on this certain day and as to be a feast to the Lord. It was to be a time dedicated to the Lord. And I believe our Thanksgiving in America started out to be that as well. A time of thanksgiving to the Lord for all that He's done. So it was called the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of the Booths, and during this feast, the Israelites were to make temporary shelters during this weekend or week-long celebration, and it was to remind them of what it was like when they lived for those 40 years in the wilderness. So they would set up these little temporary tents, so to speak, or these little booths, that they would be able to remind them of their journey in the wilderness for 40 years, which we're reading about in Exodus on Wednesday nights here usually. This was also known as the Feast of Ingathering, for it occurred after the crops had been harvested. After there had been things coming and God had provided for them, then it was there. It was a feast of thanksgiving and joy. I thought that was interesting when I typed that out in my notes this week and wrote the word joy. Thanksgiving and joy. How many times do we lose our joy in all of the preparation, all of the busyness of getting the feast together that we have and all the family comes together that you don't get along with anyway. And it's just like, oh man, we lose our joy so easily. And so the Feast of the Tabernacles was not only for that remembering and giving thanks, but it should have been and it would have been, was a time of joy. That joy of the Lord. Celebrating God's goodness during that 40-year wilderness journey. Think about it. 40 years they were there, and they didn't starve. They didn't go without shoes or food or clothes or anything like that. God provided every day for them for 40 years out in that wilderness. And it was also to thank him for their present goodness that the Lord was providing for them now. The time of this feast was late September through the middle of October, or the time of the harvest. And so that's when it normally was. No work could be done on those days. Nobody went to work. And soon this became one of the most prominent of the Jewish holidays. I think because they didn't have to work. No, maybe not. I don't know. But it was really an important holiday. It was sometimes referred to simply as the holiday. It's what they referred to it to. And remember, three times a year, all males were to take a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to appear before the Lord in the temple. These three times, of course, the first one was the Passover, which would have been probably March to mid-April. Then Pentecost, 50 days later, usually in May. And then the third one is this one, Tabernacles, which was in the fall, September, October. Each of these three times were times called Pilgrim's Feast. And so when we celebrate Thanksgiving today in America, you know, it's always the image of the pilgrims. Those first settlers in the nation, and the pilgrims, and knowing the history where they had brought in the harvest, and they had the Indians come around, and they shared with them, and the Indians shared with them, and there was this feast of joy and thanksgiving between the settlers, between the pilgrims during that time. And so all of these feasts were considered or called pilgrim feast. But it was during the Feast of Tabernacles that Solomon's temple was dedicated. So it was a special time. This was a time set apart to really dedicate things unto the Lord. And it also marked, of course, the change of seasons from fall to the winter rainy time. And of course, today our Thanksgiving is the same thing. You know, our seasons change around about now. You know, it went from 82 days ago to 40 today. You know, it changes. But the anticipation of the rain, because the rainy season was coming, and the anticipation of that was symbolized during the feast by what was concerned this drink offering. This drink offering was there. It was water that was poured out before the Lord, signifying the rain that was about to come, the rainy season. The high priest with the water from the pool of Siloam came to the southern gate, which was known as the water gate. And when he entered it, there was three blasts from the silver trumpets were made as he entered that water gate with the water from the pool. And with one voice, all the priests repeated from Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Wow. Again, I think of that full armor of God, and I think of our helmet of salvation, and how important it is to keep that on our mind that we're saved, how much joy that should bring us. How much should we overlook what we don't have when we can remember the joy of our salvation and knowing that's where we get our strength. And then beginning on the second night, a light ceremony with four huge menorahs, and the priest would come dancing with torches, singing the Psalms of Descent. And you find them in Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. Because they'd sang the Song of Ascent, Psalm 113 to 118. And it was such a spectacle to see the lights of the temple in front of a backdrop of the darkness of night. See, when we're really giving God glory tomorrow, for our Thanksgiving, then no matter what darkness is around us, His light will shine through. What a light that is. What a brightness we have in Him. And so this was the symbol and the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles. It was joy. It was joy in the midst of suffering, pain, and turmoil. Joy in the midst of suffering, pain, and turmoil. You know, I think of Cecil, our brother Cecil, the man is in pain all the time. But yet when he walks in here, man, there's a smile on his face. There's a blessing on his lips. There's just a light that radiates from him that he's able to go beyond the pain and the suffering that he endures day by day and has for years. And just he's a blessing to be around. You know, just when you see something like that. And as I read this about the Feast of the Tabernacles, I keep in mind the joy and the thanksgiving in the midst of suffering, pain, and turmoil. You know, many of us go through a lot of different things and we think it's the worst thing possible in the world until you see what somebody else is going through. And man, you go, oh, thank you, Lord. I don't think I could get through that. You see, there's the thing about God's grace is if He calls you to go through something, He will give you His grace to go through it. And we can be thankful ahead of time for that. Much, much thanksgiving in that. See, the Feast of Tabernacles, it was not a feast that celebrated the absence of difficulty. They didn't celebrate this because they were not having any problems or any issues. But it was joy with gratitude for how God sustains you through the difficulty. So I believe the Feast of Thanksgiving tomorrow, that hopefully you all have. Hopefully you'll have a great feast and there'll be a lot of joy. But in the midst of anything else you might have gone through this whole year, to be able tomorrow, to set those things aside, to set them aside and say, Lord, thank you for sustaining me here. Thank you that I have today. I woke up today. I was able to get out of bed today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. See, it's to joy and gratitude for how God sustains us through any and all difficulties. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Isn't that a blessing? Just to be able to apply that to your life. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will. And then when you read and see when we're doing things according to His will, where our lives go a lot, lot better. So give thanks in everything. Now, of course, I can't leave this subject without, of course, referencing Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. You know, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and He will give you a peace that will surpass all understanding, that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's that guard that guards what comes out of our heart and out of our mind. Because it's not what goes in that defiles, it's what comes out. And see, our minds get to thinking some stinking thinking a lot of times. Our heart gets ugly. So don't get anxious about those things. It says, but in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. And you will have that peace. And then, of course, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is a good report, whatever, if anything has virtue, let your mind dwell or meditate on these things. Stop thinking about all the bad things. Stop thinking about all the things you don't have. Focus on what you do have. Focus on the truth that Jesus died for you. Focus on the truth that He will sustain you through any struggle, through any trial. Anything you may be going through today, tomorrow, or the next, He will sustain you. So in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. Praise the Lord. So I just pray you all have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow, that you're filled with joy and peace and that family that's around you would just, if they don't know Jesus, tomorrow would be their day. That they would see something different in you and be able to receive Him. So let's pray. Father, I thank You. I thank You that as we look back at the Feast of Tabernacles, we see the reason that it was there was to be able to give You joy. Joy not for no problems, not for no difficulties, but having that joy and that thankfulness for knowing that You will sustain us through anything and everything. So go before us this evening, Lord, and just bless our day tomorrow. I just pray blessings upon each and every person here, that their thanksgiving would be full to overflowing, that they would just feel Your grace and Your mercy and Your peace, and that, Lord, there would just be abundant joy in all of our hearts tomorrow. So just we just rejoice in You now, and we thank You. Just be with us all as we depart tonight. We thank You, and I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. It was a short night tonight, so...